Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, October 8th, 2014. And with me today, I have John Martellaro, man about town. How are you, John?
Good morning. Yes, I am. And I'm happy to be here.
And it's great to have you. And just so everyone knows, our sponsor this week, Smile, and Text Expander Touch 3. I'll tell you more about that later. That's a little foreshadowing. But first, let's just like hop into what I think is the big news for today. And that's the news that just before we started recording, Apple sent out invitations to the media for a special event on September 16th. And by September, I mean October. Wow.
Time flies.
I like guess so. Yeah. So it's actually really October. They didn't send out invitations a year in advance. And there you go. All right. So the invitations, what they say, and of course, everyone's going to start speculating on exactly what the hidden message is. So what it says is that September 16th at Town Hall, which is an October. Apple venue, they're going to have an event, and the tagline is, "It's been too long."
It's been too long. Oh, my.
Which could just simply be a clever thing to say, because we had the iPhone event and Apple Watch event on September 9th, and here we are a month later getting an invite to an event that's
I was, my first reaction to that was product. So I started thinking about, well, what product has been not updated in so long? We had a iPad Air a year ago.
Yep.
It was October, November-ish.
Right. So right around this time.
Right. And then, of course, everybody knows about Yosemite, and everybody knows that's coming. So it can't be with reference to that.
Well,
it is intriguing.
So what that leaves, if we're going to assume that this is a comment about it's been too long since a product update, we have iMacs, we have the MacBook Air.
The so-called Retina MacBook Air, rumored.
Sure, it could be Retina MacBook Air, finally. We haven't had an update to the Mac Pro since it was announced and then started shipping.
That's true.
We haven't had an update for Apple TV in a long time, although I can't imagine doing a media event just for Apple TV.
No, I can't either. I don't think it's Apple TV related. Well, it's been too long. It could be a reference to Gene Munster and the fact that we've been hearing about an Apple TV for years.
Oh, we are so not getting an Apple television.
Yeah, you know, for every article that says for Apple to build its own TV is stupid, there's another article that says Apple should build its own TV. It's a brilliant idea. Seize control of it.
I'm in the stupid camp, and I realize what I just said. I am in the camp of people that think that Apple making a television is a stupid idea. I think Apple TV is totally the way to go, and that's because they make the device that gives you the experience, and then you connect it to whatever size display is appropriate for you.
Yeah, but I keep thinking about what Apple could do if it made the whole widget. You know, Apple's always thinking about being vertically integrated, and there's so many components here. You know, you've got the television box itself. You've got control over the design, the appearance. You've got control over the video signal after it's been decrypted. You've got the iOS operating system. You've got your ability to do custom hardware in there and do things that other TV manufacturers are not doing, you know, with Apple's history with custom chips and things like that. And so I can see a situation where Apple says, you know, the only way to get ahead up is to build the entire widget and integrate the whole thing and make it look like a TV from the 21st century instead of some dumb box that you connect a Roku to or an Apple TV box. So I'm kind of hoping that they kind of do that, especially in terms of doing interesting things with the display, after the signal has come into the TV, which you cannot do, with the current Apple TV box. You're just subjected to, sending your HDCP signal up to the TV and letting it have its way with it.
I think that you present a compelling argument, and at the same time, I fear that you've been oxygen deprived.
Well, I am at 6,000 feet up here in Colorado.
And
you, sir.
Yep, and I'm just as high as you are, and I realize how that sounds. I think we're not going to have an Apple television. We will get our iPad announcement.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of get back on track here. What are the two most likely things, of course, are the Yosemite release, because we're in the second GM candidate. And
yep, that rolled out this morning as well.
Right, and iPad of some kind.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think we'll see the long-rumored update to the iPad Air. And that we will get Touch ID, and it will get a faster processor, and it may or may not be thinner. I don't know, but definitely Touch ID.
I have a question for you.
Uh huh.
Do you think that another iPad Air with Touch ID and a faster processor is enough to get people excited and make a fuss and get people, in standing in line and buying these things? Or do you think that maybe Apple will do something unexpected, like come out maybe with that mythical, 12.9-inch iPad maybe as a way to really get people jazzed?
Well, it's no secret how I feel about the 12.9-inch iPad. I think it's coming, and I'm not excited about it, although I know there are plenty of people that will be. I could see if Apple really has everything together so that they could do a 12.9-inch tablet launch now, that they would, but we haven't seen anything other than speculation. And we are close enough to a launch or a launch announcement that I would expect we would have seen something.
Something in the supply chain, some rumor.
Something in the supply chain, and we haven't seen anything like that.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this iPad update akin to the iPad 2 to the iPad 3, and I look at the iPad Air introduction as akin to the original iPad to iPad 2, where we had a significant product change. But then we get the next iteration, and it's a nice improvement, but it's not the holy crap change that's going to have people passing out with excitement.
Well, there's another consideration, and that is the case makers. I'm working with Bridge Global, and hopefully I'll have one of those cool aluminum keyboards that fits onto the iPad Air, makes it look like a MacBook, folds up and it's all aluminum and everything. And then when you open it up, you've got a really cool MacBook-like keyboard, and you slide your iPad Air in there and connect it with Bluetooth. And, all along that company's been wondering, just as we're ready to come out with an update, keyboard for all those iPad Air users, now Apple comes along and changes the size, the shape, moves some button, makes it thinner, no longer fits. All the case makers are going to have a fit because they'll have to redesign their cases. I'm wondering if Apple decides to come out with an iPad Air 2, keeps the size the same, and just adds the Touch ID and a faster processor, people will go, oh, that's just not very exciting.
I have a feeling you're right, that there will be a lot of people that look at what Apple announces and they'll say, it's not that exciting.
Yeah. But all those people who have iPad 2s and 3s and 4s will definitely be ready to buy it.
Sure.
Question is, you know, is there enough of them? Apple knows those things. I mean, you know, they know they have those iPads are on the network, and Apple can check and see, you know, how many of each kind. There's web services that catalog the different models, and Apple has a pretty good feel for how many 2s and 3s and 4s and Airs are out there, and so they generally have a good idea about how many people are going to be upgrading.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
So as much as I would love to keep speculating on what Apple is going to announce for us on the 16th, I want to make sure we hit our second topic for the day, because you're here specifically because of our second topic. Before we hit that, though, I want to let everyone know that our sponsor this week is Smile. That's smilesoftware.com, and specifically their Text Expander Touch 3 application for iOS. And for those of you that aren't familiar with Text Expander, it's a really great utility that lets you create shortcut snippets. When you type them, they expand out into words, phrases, graphics on your Mac. They also expand out into scripts, and it's an incredible time saver. It's actually a utility that I wouldn't be able to do what I do without. It's that productive for me. And on the iPhone and iPad, now that we have iOS 8, you have a full Text Expander keyboard that you can use in all your applications and have the same functionality on your iPhone that you have on your Mac. And I think this is a fantastic application, and it's totally worth checking out. If you want to look at it before you go and download it, just go to smilesoftware.com and give it a look there. And then when you're ready to go ahead and get your own copy, go look at our show notes. I'll have a link that will take you right to it. And it's totally worth checking out. And thanks to Smile for being our sponsor.
Yay.
Yeah. And okay, so now our second topic, the reason I have you here, John, is because you wrote a piece about alternatives to the traditional, dare I say, old school belt holder for smartphones. And I was curious, what were your favorites out of the piece that you wrote?
Well, you know, it all started back on September 25th when I wrote an article called "We Got Our Bigger iPhones, Hooray! So How Do We Carry Them?" And that's when I was looking at the OtterBox Defender and acres of plastic, and it's a wonderful case. But as the phone has grown, so have these really well-built, solid cases that protect your phone really, really well. And so that article got the staff kind of talking about, you know, different ways to carry your phone. And so Kelly and Adam started sending me URLs that they had saved on different ways to carry your phone. And, of course, we had all heard about, you know, the iPhone 6 Plus being subject to bending and all the stuff about how bad an idea it is to, you know, put it in your back jeans pocket and then plop down on a hard park bench. Whoop. So we got together and collected all these alternative ways to carry your 6 Plus. My favorite is the first one in the article. It was published yesterday, 9 alternative ways to carry your iPhone 6 Plus other than your pocket. And I kind of like that LD West shoulder holster.
And I'm not surprised at all.
I think that's a really nice place to put your phone because, you know, if you put it in a suit coat pocket, not everybody wears a suit coat during the day. And that's usually kind of a smooth or silky interior, and the phone can really slide out of that suit coat pocket really easy. This way, when you have it in a shoulder holster, you don't have to worry about it sticking on your belt. You don't have to worry about it banging on the car seat or with the shoulder straps, the seat belts of your car. You don't have to worry about it, you know, hanging there and getting in the way of your clothing, especially in winter weather. With a shoulder holster, you can just unzip your parka or your jacket or your fleece or whatever you've got and just pull it right out. You may be jogging. You may have sweatpants where you don't really have a good way to carry the phone. A leather shoulder holster is sort of funky, and it has this James Bond kind of aura to it. But actually, it's a very practical way to carry your phone. It fits inside your clothing. It's right up there where you need it. If you're jogging, you can have a very short coiled earphone cord. And if you take a bullet, it might even protect you.
Just be careful if you use this, where you use it, and how quickly you reach for your phone.
Right.
Because some people might get a little jumpy if they think that you have a shoulder holster with a gun in it and are reaching for that.
That's true. Smile and pull it out very slowly.
Be friendly all the time. That's just a good way to go through life anyhow. We're pretty much out of time. So I would be remiss if I didn't point out the one case that I'm actually disappointed that you're not going to be testing, because I want photographs of you wearing this one out in the wild. And that's the junk one.
Oh, the man sack.
The man sack.
Yeah, on page 2 of the review, there are a couple gender-specific things. There's the Joey bra for the women, and then there's the man sack for the guys, which, according to the website, says it keeps your junk safe. So check that out.
Yeah, and actually, if someone does get that and wear it, I want to see a photo. Just so that I know there's someone out there that's really using the what was it, the Joey bag?
The Joey bra.
That's the one for women.
That's the one for women. It has zippered pouches on the side of the bra. I don't know that it's big enough. There wasn't a phone number on the website, so for me to call them instantly, but it looks like it would carry easily a 4S. And they talk about that on the website. So I don't think it's candidate for a 6+. That's a pretty big thing to put under your arm. But I included it because Kelly sent it along, and it looks like a nice alternative way to carry your phone in any case if you have one of the smaller ones.
All right. And just to be clear, I don't expect anyone to put that on and send me photographs. I'm okay not getting your Joey bra photographs. That's perfectly fine.
And I think I'll pass on the review of the man sack. I mean, the picture speaks for itself.
It kind of does. I am a little disappointed, though. Yeah. Well, we're out of time. So, John, thank you for joining me today. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens on the 16th.
It was a pleasure.
Yeah, it's always great to have you here. And thanks to Smile for being our sponsor this week.
The guru is leaving the house.